Genesis 11. So Abraham had faith, right? We go all the way back. We could start, you know, of course, in Genesis, Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the garden, and then they were cast out, and the Lord was still present. You see their sons and their lives, they multiply, and then we have the Tower of Babel, and God confounds the languages. And then, of course, we have Noah. Noah comes along with his three sons, their wives, and the animals that got on the ark, and off they went. And then they landed, and from there, from where the ark landed, the earth is repopulated. And so we can look in Genesis, and he actually gives us the sons and their descendants, and tells us, you know, where those families went. We can tell by their names and such. And then the Tower of Babel, where everything's confounded. And then we go to Ur, which, where is Ur? Modern day Iraq. And so modern day Iraq, and so faith is there. The belief in God is there. Though we always think about faith in God, we go to Israel, but we're not there yet. And so Abraham is in Ur. God calls him out and says, leave your family. Your father's house, your family, and your land. We want you away from everybody you've been around, right? And that's Genesis chapter 11. In verse number 8, it says, so the Lord scattered them abroad. Oh, am I in the right place? Yes. Scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build a city. So this is the Tower of Babel. And we go on, and I picked up too early. In verse 31, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So they left Ur, they traveled a little distance, and they stopped. And Abram is still with he's got his wife, and he's got his nephew, and he's got his dad. But then they stayed there until his dad passed away. In chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. He had said that already. But Abram didn't leave until his dad passed away. He stayed with his dad. And now that his dad has passed, he's got that liberty, if you will, that, you know, and he's 75 years old. And he finally feels like he can step away from home at 75. Things were different, weren't they? And so he begins now to pursue this vision God's given. But I want you to look at that verse, verse 1. Unto a land that I will show thee, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, I want to ask you a question. Only those who have never been to church camp. When I say to you that we are going on an all-expense-paid, week-long trip to a tropical island paradise, what comes to mind? Only the people that haven't been there. Right? Gilligan's Island? Okay, I could take that. I could take that. What else? Hawaii. That's the whole idea. How come y'all haven't gone yet? All right, but that is the picture, and obviously it's tongue-in-cheek. But I want you to imagine, and then those of you who have been, what is it? They call it Baptist Island Road. When they bought it back in the early 70s, like early 70s, 72, I think, they had to cut their way to this land, but there is a road to it, and there are houses along the way, but it's surrounded on all sides by swamp. I mean, that's water. That makes it an island, right? Yeah, had canoes and all that kind of stuff. But it is exactly as I described. It's very, very tropical. And it is an island. Now, the paradise part you have to come up with by yourself. But look what God told Abraham. He said, I want you to leave everything you got and everyone you know and everything you've ever known. And I want you to go to a place that I will show you. And in that place, I will bless you. In that place, all through you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, you're Abram, and you got Sarah with you, and you're leaving behind everything you've known, and I want to know, what are you imagining when God makes you a promise like that? What is in your mind? What do you think of? Is it kind of like Ur, but just a little bit better? Do you imagine the palm trees and the date palms and lush fields? Right? Camels, right? Oh, cameras, yeah. He couldn't go on Facebook and look or Google and look at it, could he? Google Maps. But the concept here, and this is what we really need to understand, because I don't think we ever think about this. I know I have never considered what Abram thought of in his mind when God said, leave what you've known, I want to show you something. What did he imagine? What was he looking for? Because here's the thing. Now we go to Hebrews chapter 11. And that's where we'll stay the rest of the time, so you can abandon your mark back there. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, page 1301, if you have a Schofield. A land that I will show you. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't have a destination, except God was going to just show him where it was. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So Abraham left in obedience, just trusting God, not knowing what it would bring. But let me tell you something about this journey. It wasn't a walk in the park. It was a hard, arduous journey. The word sojourn gives us the impression or the understanding that they would go somewhere and they would camp. And they would move further and they would camp. And they would move further and they would camp. Now don't forget, he's got herds and flocks with him as they travel. He's bringing them along and he would stop. But here's what I imagine Abraham and Sarah. They leave Haran and they go south. They get to a place, let's say they get to Dan. The water's coming off Mount Hermon, is flowing down the river, what becomes the Jordan River, and goes into the Sea of Galilee. Abraham and Sarah get there, by the way, lush, green, trees, all that kind of stuff we would think of. And he sees this place, and he looks at it, and he thinks in his heart, well, this is beautiful. I don't think this is the place. So guess what? They pack up and they move further. They get down to Galilee. And they look at Galilee, and there's high mountains and there's hills and, the fields and the pastures. And they see that and they stop and the sheep graze and all that kind of stuff. And Abraham says, this can't be the place. And they pack up and they go down further south. They go into what we call Samaria. Maybe they traveled along the Jordan River. And as you think of the Jordan River, the Jordan Valley, again, avocados and watermelons and oranges and everything that we grow in this wonderful state of Florida, they can grow there. And you think of all the stuff that the mangoes and such as that, that they would come across, pomegranates and the grapes. Remember the grapes that they found when they came into Kadesh Barnea. just a lush valley along the Jordan. But Abraham, as he travels with his wife, he says to himself, I don't think this is the place. God's made him a promise. And he's sojourning, constantly moving, continuing south, hoping to discover the promised land. And all that time, he was in the promised land. But it was what was in his imagination. It was what was in his mind that kept him going further and further south, that kept him moving. All the time passing over what God had promised. Isn't that incredible? Isn't there a huge spiritual message there? And I speak to people. Someone called me late the other night and was telling me, you know, about their life. And it's a conversation we had a year ago, probably. And I said that statement that you would say also, and we've all heard it before. If you keep on doing what you've been doing, you're going to keep on getting what you've been getting. And until you can move out of your country, out from under your father's shadow, from your kindred and all your people there, and go to a place that God has prepared for you, nothing's going to change. But then when you get there to the promised land, to what God has prepared for you, if you don't stop and say to God, is this it? You're going to walk right past it, which is exactly what Abram's done. How far did he go? All the way to Egypt. That's past. He kept walking right through it, didn't he? He went south. Yeah, he went to Beersheba, which, remember, Dan on the north, Beersheba on the south. But he kept on going. He just kept on walking. Because he had in mind what he would find. But he got all the way to Egypt without finding what he was looking for. Because of what he had in his imagination. What he thought he would find. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. By the way, this is encompassing all those that he's talked about in the chapter. But having seen them afar off. Having seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. All of these great men and women that he has mentioned in this chapter, he's saying they went in faith, not having received the promise. What was the promise? The promise was salvation through Jesus Christ. The promise was God's continual presence by the Holy Ghost indwelling us. That was the promise. This communion, this friendship with God. By the way, Abraham, the Bible says, is the friend of God. But these all died in faith, not having received it. But look at what they did. They were persuaded. They were convinced. And they embraced them. They wanted them. And they confessed that this was just temporary. As Abraham kept moving, every place he stopped, it was temporary. We were over there, and there's an excursion, I guess you'd call it, that we went to, and they said, this is like Abraham's tent. So they had this huge tent. On three sides, it had walls, you know, tent walls. And we went in there, and we sat down, and we ate the foods that are native to the land. Rode a camel. If you wanted to, you could ride a camel in and out. I'd already ridden a camel. I was done with that. So I just walked. But just, we could step off over the side of the hill and see, you know, the land and the greenery and all the places where Abraham would have fed his sheep, might have fed his sheep. But in each of these wonderful places, as he would step on these mountains and hills and look out, he just never could be satisfied that this is what God was promising him. Why do you say that? Well, let me tell you why. Look at verse 14. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They're looking for something else. Look at verse number 16, and we'll come back to 15. They desire a better country that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them a city. Prepared for them a city. There was something, that there is something that God has prepared for us. Look at verse number 10. Why was Abraham not satisfied? Verse 10. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Every time I've ever read that, I always perceived that to mean heaven. You know that Abraham was spiritually minded, and no doubt he is, and that's what it continues to say. But that doesn't explain why they kept going all the way to Egypt. But what does explain why they went all the way to Egypt is because what they thought God had promised them is not what God promised them. And they kept looking for something and looking for, but by their imagination and by their impression of what God had said, they never did find it. And that's what's wrong with a lot of people today. We're looking for something God didn't promise us. And everywhere we go, even though we're in the promised land, even though we're in the promise, even though we're obedient, even though we're persuaded and embracing the promises of God, guys, look at our lives. Look at where we are. Look at how wonderful things are. God's good to us. God's been so good to us. We got a wonderful country. We got a wonderful church. We got a wonderful life. Of course, we've got struggles. Of course, there are problems. But let's not keep looking beyond what God has given us. Abraham, stop and smell the roses. Stop and look around you, man. Because what's going to happen is, if you don't see what's happening, where are you going to end up? In Egypt. What does Egypt represent in the Bible? Sin. If we don't see that we're living the life that God has put here for us, and we're right where God wants us to be, and I can't say that for everybody, but if you're in that situation where you are where God wants you to be, you've done what God told you to do, don't keep going till you get in sin looking for a fulfillment that's not there. Abraham had everything he needed. He was right where God sent him. 75 years old when his journey started. It was a hard life. There was a struggle. There were mountains to climb. And then verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And we think about going home, and we talk about home. How many of you have ever been home? I don't know about you, but home's not what it used to be. I'm in Hebrews 11 still. Sorry, did I not say that? Okay. You were thinking about that city, right? You're thinking about Tropical Island Paradise. I know what you were doing. I know what you were doing. But look, if they had been mindful, in other words, they embraced and were persuaded of the promises of God, if they were still looking back, they could have gone back. They might have had opportunity to return. I don't know about you. I think about when later on, when the Hebrews are leaving Egypt and they get to the Red Sea and, oh, we should have just died there. Now we're going to be destroyed out here. And then the water parts. They scurry across. Water comes back down. There's no way back. No way back. Guys, when we get saved, we can't go back. When God has saved us, we can't go back, because I'll tell you something. Once you're saved, when you go back, it's not going to be like it used to be. You can go back into sin. You can go back down to Egypt, but it's not going to be like it used to be, because something's changed. The Lord has washed your sins away. He's put his presence in you and a divine calling on your life. Their hearts and eyes were not on the past. They weren't mindful of that country from which they came. They desire better the country. In fact, in verse 16, it says a heavenly. I don't know. Maybe Abraham expected to find heaven out there. Maybe he was looking for pearly gates and golden street, crystal sea. People say, oh, when I get to heaven. Oh, when I get to heaven. Hey, don't wait to get to heaven to get to know God. Get to know him now. Don't wait to get to heaven to enjoy his communion and fellowship. Enjoy God now. Don't wait to get to heaven to sing beautiful praise and have great worship. Do it now. Don't wait to get to heaven. I remember a fellow telling me when I was youth pastor, his daughter had gotten saved, and of course I went to the family and said, can she be baptized? No, no, no. She shouldn't even have got saved without asking us. Dad said, well, he says, there's so many religions, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God which one was right. Unfortunately, I don't think that's the conversation he's going to have when he gets to heaven. They desire a better country, a heavenly. They searched. They built. They made their success. They trusted God. They obeyed. They weren't defeated. They weren't threatened by the task before them. You know, of all that Abraham went through, I remember one of the apostles said to Jesus, you remember this? Lord, we have left all and followed thee. Abraham could have said that. He didn't become a grumbler because of what he left behind. He just kept his faith in God and kept hoping and waiting patiently to realize what God had for him. And of course, he's experiencing all that now, isn't he? I know that sometimes we get in our mind what Christianity is supposed to be, what salvation is supposed to be, and maybe we have a glimpse of that in some people's lives. The number one thing we need to do is obey God. You know, there are people who have left the air-conditioned land of America, and they're living in tents and back jungles of foreign lands. You know what they did? They left their country, their kindred, and their father's house. Why? Obedience. That's not what all of us are required to do. You know why? Because sometimes right where we are, we can look around and say, this is it. Like Abraham could have done for a lot of that journey. This is it. We're there. Why do we keep looking? Why do we keep looking for something that's not promised when what God has promised is all around us? What a great thing tomorrow to celebrate the independence of our country. And we can grumble and complain and disagree. But would you want to live in any other place? Not me. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much, and we're thankful for examples like Abram and Sarah. They're just obedient. We know there's so much more to the story, and there's so much more to their lives. But I pray that tonight we'll be mindful in our journey to not overlook the promises that are all around us, the answers to the prayer that's all around us. Lord, forgive our sins. Make us useful. Give us a great week and bring us back safely. And answer the prayers that are in our hearts. Show us how to serve you well in Jesus' name.